Arkansas got it within seven. Step back, Harden. Yes! Vintage. That is such a tough shot.
Rockets crushed the Jazz last night, 122-90. This one got a little close in the third quarter, but then they just completely ran away. Seth, your biggest takeaway from this game was what?
My biggest takeaway, honestly, was that the Jazz seem desperate from the get-go. And I'll say their strategy of using the Bucks strategy where you just let Harden drive to his right, and then hope that Gobert is so tall that Harden won't know what the hell to do with it. It's just smacks of desperation because, like, all the stat heads have already proven that that actually wasn't as effective as people think it was. The Bucks did that, and Harden has just missed a bunch of open shots when the Bucks have done that, like relatively easy shots for him to make. And it was a little bit of, okay, it was a good strategy to unsettle him a little bit, but it's not going to work over time. And I feel like the Jazz are a good enough defensive team to not have to do that. So I don't know why they went with that strategy and kept with it. And Harden just did a masterful job of doing exactly what he needed to do and distributing the ball, either lobbing it up to Clint, taking the shot himself, or kicking it out to open threes, like wide open threes. Especially in the first half. Like, this could have been a complete blowout in the first half if guys had made more shots. Because there were just wide open 3-point attempts in the first half. So I never felt, even when the score got a little close, like this was one bit of a contest. But I also remember that this same damn thing happened last year. The Jazz came back in game two.
Yes.
And put up a pretty damn good fight. So
they took it to them.
Yeah, I'm not reading too much into this, but I'm honestly a little bit insulted on behalf of James Harden. I'm a little bit insulted that they thought, oh, yeah, we're going to make you go right. Nobody's ever thought of that before. What are you going to do when we make you go right? Well, he's going to crush you. He's going to crush you like he does everybody else. And Gobert, I'm going to tell you another thing. I can't sit here and watch Gobert basically pretend he's a fullback as he's just penetrating into the paint, driving, waylaying James Harden, anybody else that stands in his way with these ridiculous. And I can't even call him a moving screen. What is it? It's a moving fullback block. And he got called for it once, and then they let him go with it the rest of the night. I've started to really detest Gobert. I've really started to detest him.
Well, Capella keeps outplaying him in the playoffs. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
But I want to go back
Capella said he got him got under his skin.
That's a good sign. Yeah. I want to go back to James Harden because that also, Mike and Seth on a Monday, Rockets all over the Jazz last night if you missed it. The final was 122-90, and it was basically like a 10 to 15 point game throughout game one last night. James Harden, for me, was the biggest takeaway. How he was able to do whatever he wanted against the Utah Jazz defense. And to me, the number that stood out on the whole box score was 10 assists. If James Harden has 10 assists in a game against this Utah team, the Rockets will win, period. I'm watching the NBA on TNT last night, Barkley after the game, and he's like, you know, if you had told the Jazz that in a game Harden would go 11 of 26 and he would score 29 points, they might be okay. I'm like, all right, that's fine, and that's not a terrible point, I guess. But the big number is the assists.
Right.
Like, when he's passing the ball like that, and he had 10 assists, he could have had 14 or 15 assists last night. In the first quarter, it wasn't just that he was getting what he wanted to at will. It was that Harden was able to pick out shooters all over the court at will.
Right.
If that's happening, the Jazz will not win, assuming the Rockets are shooting at all decently.
That's why I'm saying it looked like the Jazz were desperate already, because that strategy, they're not executing it well at all, and I don't think they're athletic enough to pull it off. Harden is driving, and those plotting defenders for the Jazz were, I mean, they're a good defense. They're a good, like, they can play their defense and have a better shot.
Second best defense in the
league. You're doing this thing where you're hoping that the Rockets shooters are going to go cold. Well, that's great if it's one game, but are you realistically going to think that the Rockets are going to go cold for a seven game series, completely cold? They can go 0 for 27 on threes in one game, but you're at the beginning of a seven game series here. And it just felt like a desperation move, like you don't trust your guys, like you don't trust your defense versus the Rockets. And, I mean, realistically, you shouldn't. The Rockets just have an awesome offense. But I don't know why they did that. And I would expect that they change that up for game two. And you're going to see just more, they're just going to try to be to more of a grinding, grittier defense.
I expect that as well. So the strategy last night was the Jazz forcing James Harden right. Here was Mike D'Antoni after the game on how the Rockets exploited that.
To be honest with you, it's not that we improved. Probably we've seen a little bit more often now, and so and Jane just adjusts to it. It's like he does with everything. They throw something at him. It might get him a little bit, and then he just figures it out, and they don't get him on it anymore. And that's just that's why he's so good offensively. I mean, it makes me smile. It makes me laugh. I mean, he's just so good. I don't know what you do. No, he could have a bad game, and they'll contribute to something. No, it's sometimes humans have bad games, and you're not stopping him. I don't care what you do.
James Harden finishes with 29, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds in game one.
The biggest issue the Jazz had with executing that defense is that they showed their hand immediately in Harden. Like, you're basically telling Harden, hey, this is exactly how this is going to play out, okay? We're gonna force you to drive, and the paint's going to be packed, and there's going to be wide-open shooters out there. Or our guys are going to be lumbering to try to get out to those shooters, and you're either going to have a shot or Capella's going to be unguarded underneath. And Harden's just seen this enough times that he's going to dissect it. And you see enough from various coaches and players, and especially when it's anonymous quotes from scouts or whatever, about how just if Harden is doing what he's capable of doing, there's no genuine defending him. Because if you really want to take his game completely away from him, there's going to be wide open players elsewhere in the court. And this is what's happened. He's developed this floater this year. He's developed his mid-range game. The only hope the Jazz have is that Gobert is just so long and so good at just getting that space between him and Harden that it completely screws up his floater.
Just making those floaters tougher. Yeah. Seth, I thought overall, just looking at the NBA as a whole this weekend, there were three teams that kind of stood out with the weirdness that went on. The class of the NBA was the Warriors, the Bucks, and the Rockets. Those are the best teams that played all weekend long. I was glad to see that. And with all the pressure that's on James Harden in this playoff run particularly, I was glad that he was able to play with as much ease as he did last night. Like he did not look like he was under pressure whatsoever. I thought that was a really good sign.
I thought that was a good sign. I thought Chris Paul looking like he did was maybe the best sign. And Chris Paul looking like vintage Chris Paul, dribbling around all over the place, under the rim, scoring at will from the mid-range. Like all these very youthful, spry Chris Paul looking things he did last night. And now it's just a matter of, hey, can you stay looking that way? I feel like a sweep is almost essential because the Warriors are going to sweep. And
most likely.
The Warriors are going to sweep. This is one thing that happened. And this is where Pat Beverly, you wonder, is Pat Beverly still a friend of the Houston Rockets? A little bit. Because Pat Beverly got, he extracted a couple of technicals out of Kevin Durant.
Who was ejected, as was Beverly.
Kevin Durant's got two technicals. In the playoffs, he got ejected with 7.
Yes.
The only question in my mind with the Clippers series is, can Pat Beverly get another couple technicals out of Kevin Durant?
Now,
imagine if Durant comes into the Rockets series with 4 technicals under his belt.
Now, the problem with the NBA is that usually if they, all of a sudden if he gets that 7th technical, we'll be sitting here like the next 2 days and then, at some point, some news report will come down. They have rescinded one of the technicals.
No, or Durant could come in and hatchet somebody to death, and they'll give him a flagrant 1.
Yeah,
they'd be like, "Well, look, we frown upon that generally." I know that Kevin Durant killed Patrick Beverly with a hatchet in the 2nd quarter, but we're just gonna give it a flagrant 1.
Which I actually don't mind because honestly, like, I'd rather see the best players, injury notwithstanding, play in the playoffs.
Well,
so I'm good with that.
Unless they're letting them get it. No, because when Draymond Green was, remember when Draymond was in that situation in the playoffs?
Yes.
And they just let him do anything he wanted.
Yeah.
That's BS because that affects the game.
See, I just don't like the
rule. The weird thing with Durant and Beverly was that they were just jawing, right? I mean, it was like they kind of got up in each other's faces. It was so much. Beverly did Durant such a favor because Durant got to pretend he was a tough guy. It was so
which he likes to do.
It was so fraudulent, like Durant acting like there was any possibility or anything that he was gonna show up Pat Beverly. He's gonna show him up on the court, obviously. Pat Beverly can't guard Kevin Durant, but he can get under his skin.
I want to go back to this real quick. Mike and Seth, Rockets crushed the Jazz last night in game 1, 122-90. You believe it's essential to sweep this series?
All but essential. Not 100%, but it would help a lot.
Can they sweep this series? Because this Jazz seems good. I mean, they won 50 games this year, but they were also 21-21. So they went, let's see, they went basically, you know, they were dominant, relatively dominant down the stretch of the season. They went basically, 29-12 down the stretch.
Yep.
Really good. last year, even though they won the series in five games, some of those were pretty close. Can they sweep this series?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What? How are you going to watch last night and say ask if it's possible for them to sweep?
Well, because
series?
Of last year.
Right. Last
similar
last
thing.
Year.
Game
yeah,
one.
I know. No, it's certainly possible. Will they? That's the question. Will they? Probably not.
Probably
It'll
not.
It'll probably be 4-1.
I'm guessing at this point. I would.
Honestly, okay,
said,
now you've insulted the Rockets.
No,
again.
Not at all. That's
the question. Can they? Like, can they? Is it possible?
I can rephrase it to will they.
Yeah, will they? Probably not. I want them to, and I think it would help a lot. Because if Chris Paul can get, what did he get last night? I'm guessing 31, 32 minutes?
33 minutes.
33 minutes. If he can hold it to 33 minutes for most of these games, I would take 4-1 if he holds it to 35 minutes or less every game versus like sweeping it, but having like a couple monstrous games,
especially considering, you know, how long there is between games.
Yeah.
The Rockets are off tonight. Tomorrow, game two is on Wednesday night at Toyota Center.